Welcome to another episode of Not Offended Podcast. I am your host, Robert Farmer, and I am back and at it. And if you are listening, even after reading the title of this episode, I commend you. This is the beginning of a lot of conversations that I will be having with people about race that may disagree with me. And although my mind might change throughout my conversations, the point of these conversations and episodes is not to change each other's mind, but just to hear each other out and prove that we can have a productive conversation, even about hard topics like race. So without any further ado, I give the conversation about two white people talking about racism. All right, well, I am here with my good friend, Aaron, and Aaron
good
is...
Good friend? You just couldn't call me a good friend?
Okay, my best friend,
Thank
Aaron.
Thank you.
We are going to talk about... we're going to just have a conversation today. We're talking about racism. Aaron, why don't you just share a little bit about who you are and a little any kind of updates in your family or your what you're going through. Just kind of give us a little rundown of you.
Yes, so my name's Aaron. I am a student pastor at church in Vegas, and I am married to my wife, Tally, and last time I was on this, we did our Trump versus Biden, I was, I think at that point it was like our daughter was due any day, and so now our daughter is almost 8 months old. Her name's Juniper, and she's awesome. She's sleeping right now, and we are at my house. I'm also a white person. Yeah. And so I think that is...
we're going to get into why that's significant, but yeah.
I'm a white man, so I think that is significant just as we go into the conversation, but I love Jesus, and I also like, I don't know, what I like college football. I like Virginia Tech football. I wish that you liked sports more. Maybe for the sake of our friendship, you could just... Maybe just think about liking college football.
I will, I'll consider it.
If I get you a t-shirt, would you wear it?
I would wear it, yeah.
Cool,
yeah.
Deal.
Until someone else buys me a t-shirt, I don't know how. Anyway, I know our last episode, if you're listening to this, and this is your first episode that you've ever listened to, my first episode was a Trump voter and a Biden voter has a conversation. You had a little disclaimer saying that at any moment we may have to stop this because Tally was due, and she was due any minute and could have popped right then and there. So we are... 8 months into it. It's been a pretty interesting 8 months. And I have had some downtime just to reflect and rest and take a break. But now we are going to jump back into having conversations. And today's topic is not one that I'm going to shy away from, but it is one that I am going to start out with on an easier hand. We're going to talk about racism and systemic racism. And before we even get into the conversation about that, I just do want to kind of preface that we are both white people talking about racism.
Yep.
And so...
apologies for the audio. My dog is here. We are two dads and...
And it's not a perfect world. Yeah. And this is, Not Offended Podcast Studios 101 with dogs. And
it's a $1 million
facility.
Studio,
yeah.
But you have to have some dogs in here. Just for the human nature of it, right?
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to talk about systemic racism and wherever this conversation leads. This is the first time that me and you have actually had a lengthy conversation about this topic. Mm-hmm. And I think that we're going to go into it somewhat blind. But the first question I just want to ask is, Aaron, do you – first off, the systemic racism, let's go over what that is. It's also – the term is also institutional racism. What I want to talk about is it's this – thought that it refers to a form of racism that is embedded in the laws and regulations of a society or an organization, and how it manifests as discrimination in areas such as criminal justice, employment, housing, healthcare, education, and political representation. So based on that, I kind of want to go into this and just ask your thoughts on, do you believe that there is systemic racism in our current society?
That is a loaded question. And once again, I just want to acknowledge the fact that I am a white male and you are a white male. And I think that there are, there's just a realization that we have not personally experienced this, either of us, you know? And so I just want to lay that out there just to start. But yeah, I think, and I'll just, you know, share the extra 10% rather than just like sharing what I think sounds good. I think that I can see systemic racism in the sense that there is like a part of me that is racist and fearful of people who don't look and think like me. And so, yeah, I do think that there is, and you know, systemically too, like the institutions that are set up, have been set up. I think that there are rules and ways of thinking in our culture and in our government that have been around. You know, you talk about, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation that happened with Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves. And I know this is more than just a, you know, a black issue, but it's obviously too like a Hispanic issue or, you know, an Indian issue or an Asian issue, or I think that it's all areas. But I think that just because the Emancipation Proclamation happened doesn't mean that racism was obliterated. And, you know, you look at things like the Jim Crow laws and the things that happened in the South, especially in the early 1900s. I think that there is collateral damage from those that has kind of bled into our society today. So would you like me to give an explanation of why I think that is, or do you just want me to just be general, more general about that?
We'll dive into a little bit more general, but I just want to kind of give a little preface to that. I think that when we're talking about systemic racism and that we are talking about racism in general, I think that racism manifests in multiple ways, not just one race or one group that's being marginalized. That racism, like any race, can experience and does experience racism. And so that's my personal like take on it. And I think that racism in itself isn't an issue. Like, it's not the issue. I think that it's like a manifestation of a deeper issue. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know about your much of your past of where you grew up and if you've ever experienced racism, but I've experienced racism myself as when I grew up in Long Beach, where I was one out of, I think it was 8 or 9 white people in the whole school. And so I definitely experienced racism at a high level to where I, you know, I fought multiple times, ended up taking karate in elementary school because of it. So racism to me, it doesn't have one race in mind that's been marginalized. I think that it's manifests in multiple different areas. So I just want to throw that out there. Yeah. And when it talks about when we're talking about systemic racism, I think that it's been common in the last couple months or the last couple years that this term has became kind of highlighted and in forefronts of the political realm. And I think it's been kind of focused on how people of color have been marginalized by the system. But when it comes to like the criminal system or however you want to, the criminal justice system, I personally have experienced that, you know, I've been locked up. I've been in jail. Mm-hmm. And I hear that, the system's broken. Period. It's broken. But
you,
I see
you believe that it is broken.
Oh yeah, I believe it's broken only because like. But I mean, again, I'll back up and say I don't think it's broken just for one marginalized race or ethnicity. I think it's broken all around because you know, probation, parole. It's pretty much like these rules and regulations and these hoops that you have to jump through that portion of the people who enter into probation and parole actually get out of it. Otherwise, it's just setting them up to be repeat offenders.
Sure.
And I've experienced that myself. So I've seen a lot of people. For the majority of people that I was arrested with were white. We were in a big dorm, and there were, you know, other ethnicities in there mixed in. And to me, I don't see it being a color issue. I see it being a system issue that's broken. Mm-hmm. And so when it goes to criminal justice, I don't think that the criminal justice. Now, there has been some areas and laws that have marginalized people, but I'm saying as a whole, I don't think that the criminal justice system is marginalizing one ethnicity or people of color above other races, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So, back to what we're talking about with the systemic racism, and I personally don't believe that systems in themselves are racist. I don't think that the majority of lawmakers, I don't think that the majority of people in power or making and creating these systems are doing it with either the intention of marginalizing a set ethnicity or color or creed. I think that if people are being marginalized within a system, I don't think it's like you can't blame the system, in my opinion. I think that there could be reasons, there could be root causes and root issues that fall into factor.
But I think that you just also dug yourself a hole in saying that, because you're like, there are root issues and root causes that cause our system to be corrupt. And that would be, and I think that there's, what you just shared, there are other issues other than, race issues. But I do think that this will be the last time I'll preface this, because I feel like I don't want to be redundant. I do just want to acknowledge that I'm a white male who grew up in the suburbs.
Okay.
All right. Like, I grew up in a really good home. I grew up with a great family. And so I just don't want to act like I have a... I think the thing that I wrestled with before I even answered this question too, if it's okay, is this idea of... there's a lot of white people who just post on Instagram how they're not racist. But it's like, well, how many black friends do you actually have? You know, and I want to be someone who has a lot of friends of color, whether that's black or whether that's Hispanic or whatever, you know? And so all that to say, I don't want to just be another person that black people roll their eyes at. And I just want to acknowledge that, but I'll stop saying that because I don't want to be redundant. But as I've thought of this, and I think a lot of us, after what happened in 2020 with George Floyd, tried to educate ourselves. And so I tried to look at the situation, and rather than just drawing my own conclusions, I tried to do some research and read some books. And one of the things that I watched was this documentary that was called The 13th Amendment. And I believe it's called The 13th Amendment, but it is a documentary on Netflix that talks about, and I believe The 13th Amendment was Emancipation Proclamation, and I could be wrong that it's not that, but it is a documentary about systemic racism. And I think one of the things that was really interesting about that documentary in particular was this idea of crack versus cocaine. And I don't know if you're familiar with this, and I know you have a history with those.
Yeah.
But crack and cocaine, I believe, are very similar in essence. But crack has been known to be a minority drug, and cocaine has been known to be a white drug. It's one that's used by millionaires or businessmen or different things like that. And the thing that I thought was so interesting from that, and you're familiar with this as well.
Yeah. I'll school you after you're done talking.
Yeah, yeah. So there's crack and there's cocaine, and and crack has been known to be used by minorities, and cocaine has been known to be used by white people, or aka people of a higher class, quote unquote. And the thing that I thought was interesting from that documentary is that crack, people of minorities who did crack, had a much harsher sentence. You know, in the conversation too is with Robert, who is that president that all Republicans like? Who is the actor? I cannot think of his name. Ronald Reagan, yeah. Excuse me. That Ronald Reagan had this war on drugs, but really Ronald Reagan had this war on crack, which this documentary talks about. Really, that was a war on minorities, but that minorities had this drug crack that they were, that obviously any kind of drug is wrong and bad and can, but it was like if someone gets caught with crack, it was a much harsher sentence. Where if someone's caught with cocaine, it is a much, it's more lenient sentence.
Yeah.
And so that was one of the things that was brought up in that documentary that I thought was so interesting. There's a type of drug that is basically the same thing that should, in theory, have the same punishment. But the one that was used by minorities was, you know, they would get more jail time and more harsher sentences. And the one that was used by, you know, whatever high class and was given a lesser sentence. And so I think that is something that, especially in the 1970s and 1980s, does show, in my opinion, that there was some kind of racism or a these people, this drug and these people are worse, so we need to treat them harsher than this, which I personally believe is putting into our judicial system this form of racism. And I also believe comes from the Jim Crow, the things that were put in place before. I will say this, I think that it is, for some people, maybe it's a very intentional thing, but I would say for most is a very subconscious thing. I don't think that it's always malicious intent, but I think that it's a very subconscious thing. And so
I hear you say that, but immediately I get all wiggly inside. The reason I say that is because, like, you're, and I've heard this before, not just with you. I've heard, like, it's like, oh, well, you're racist. Well, you're, like, to me, racism, I always grew up, heard it, it was like, had a portion of prejudice, you know? You're prejudging somebody based on their ethnicity, based on their color of their skin, their looks and whatnot, right? And to me, that is a intentional judgment that you're having based on somebody, based on their looks, before you even get to know somebody. Now, but like what you just mentioned, it's like you're subconsciously racist. To me, I'm like, well, that's interesting, because like, how can you subconsciously be this negative thing based on like something that you're not making an intentional choice at?
I think that does not take away from the fact that there are people of color and who fall into the there are people of color who fall into the you know, the harsher sentence.
So just to kind of recap, and we'll go back to school here. So cocaine and crack, pretty much the same drug. There, it's cocaine. Cocaine is just a more pure form. What crack is literally, hopefully kids aren't listening to this, and this is kind of PG-13-ish. All it is you're cooking the coke with baking soda and a little bit of water. Anyway, so it's your, but somehow it alters it. And then cocaine generally is either snorted or, I mean, very rarely are you smoking cocaine pure. Mm-hmm. You're either injecting it or snorting it. Crack is meant to only pretty much smoke. It's meant to smoke. And something that happens when you mix the baking powder with a crack and smoking it, the high is different and more addictive. Is that when it comes to prosecuting crack and cocaine, is that, I mean, our judicial system was built around and modeled after the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you know that, but like in pretty much every courtroom, there's like a monument or something that refers to the Ten Commandments. I don't know if you knew that, but that's our judicial system was molded on that. But we appoint judges to, so the pretty much there's, the laws have a maximum penalty for each crime, and the judges who are appointed are able to give a sentence of anything up to that maximum penalty. And so when it comes to prosecuting crack or cocaine, it's just, in my opinion, it was on the individual. It's on like the individual judge. And although cocaine was more like the rich person's drug and crack was more like the poor person's, the demographic may have changed the difference. But I want to say, like, the people who were being prosecuted and the prosecutions, if it was dealt heavier, it was because of the individual judges who are appointed. Does that make sense?
Sure. But I don't think that there is a way that you can't ignore that the percentage of minorities that did crack versus the percentage of minorities that did cocaine, is there's a big discrepancy. And then the sentences that were put on people who did crack versus the sentences that were put on people that did cocaine, there's also a discrepancy.
Dang, you know what? Listen, I may have to just watch this Netflix documentary, and we may have to follow this conversation up after I watch it. I want to backpedal. I want to kind of take the gloves off, and I probably will do this later. And maybe I'll end up like deleting this portion that we're about to talk about. But I want to say, like, racism. Let's go back to slavery. Slavery is not a race thing. It's never been a race thing. Slavery's been around longer than anything. I mean, back in the Bible, 4,000 years ago, the dude named Joseph got sold into slavery by his brothers. Now, was he black? Was he white? I mean, come on. There was no race in that. Racism has been around for ages and ages and ages. And it just so happens to be like a part of our DNA as a country. But to be honest and to be real, like, it was a part of a lot of people's culture and country at that time. And not only I think that we've done a lot of strides towards like making that right, but I think that there, you know, in other places like Africa, like that was like a huge trade thing for Africa. Like, it wasn't just like us going to Africa and taking people. Like, Africa was pretty much selling Africans to us. Anyhow, I don't want to say us because it wasn't me. I had nothing to do with that, and you had nothing to do with that. And unfortunately, anybody who was alive today had nothing to do with that. So, like, to me, when I hear... Well,
can I ask you this question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do you believe... So we take this systemic racism out of it. Do you believe that racism exists
there? I believe that racism exists on a personal level. It's okay. A one-on-one person. Like, it's a choice that everybody makes.
So you don't think that, like, South Carolina in the 1950s was overtly racism?
No, because then you're lumping racism in the grandma who cooks, like, you know, peach cobbler for the people that she doesn't even know, that, you know, went to church and loves on people. You're lumping everybody in this system into this category of negative and bad when it comes to, like...
So you don't think certain areas of the country are more racist than others?
No, I think that certain areas in the country have more racist people. But I'm not going to say, like...
Touché.
But I'm not going to say... that's like going, you know, downtown and saying, like, oh, this place is filled with homeless, you know? No, there's people who are homeless who choose to be homeless, you know, whether it was, like, their choices or whatnot. I don't know. That's like a poor example. But what I'm saying is like the like when it comes to racism, I want to say it's on a personal level. It's always on a personal level. But whether it's a judge. Like, if a judge is totally racist and every person of color comes in front of him, he, like, gives the maximum penalty. That judge is racist, not the judicial system. Is that a distinction for you? What do you think?
I think if a place is filled with people who are racist, that is a racist area, not just individuals who are racist.
But what you're doing is
you're saying that just individuals who are racist are racist. But if our president of the United States, Ronald Reagan, is saying there's a war on crack, and crack is primarily the same drug as cocaine, and cocaine is not punished as harshly, then that in and of itself is a racist. I feel like that is whether it's like under, you know, whether it's intentional or not is a racist system that is in place.
So
I think cocaine should be just as punished harshly as crack.
But I think like you're making the assumption that all people of color or the majority of people who smoke crack or like the totality of people who use crack was people of color.
And I think that's
a big assumption because
I think that is in and of itself racist on my end.
Yeah, because I mean I know people and I have smoked crack, like unfortunately, but I know for a fact that not 100% of people who do crack or smoke crack are white, and I know are black. I'm sorry, some of them are white, and I know like on the flip side that cocaine isn't just a white drug; that it's like across the whole entire board.
Yeah.
So like, and the thing is that I think when it comes down to it, the difference between coke and crack is coke is more pure, and so it's more like the rich man's drug. Then crack is like the poor man's drug because you're mixing it with all this stuff, and so a little bit goes further. Mm-hmm. And so it's a poor man's drug. But there's poor white people. There's poor there's poor like every ethnicity you mix in there. There's poor people.
Sure, I think that when a society like African Americans are marginalized, like they were in slavery and then they were post-slavery, marginalized long enough that they will, unfortunately, be pushed to the margins of society.
Okay.
And so that is why I make the assumption. But I also, unfortunately, think as much as I say it's an assumption, there are statistics show that, most of the criminal justice system involves minorities.
That is incorrect, actually.
Okay.
I will actually tell you that the majority of people who... Well, the only way that the numbers are skewed is if you go based on the ratio per the total. So, let's say the percentage of white people who are incarcerated versus the percentage of people of color who are incarcerated. If you look at it just as numbers, the majority of people incarcerated are white people. But of course, like the population accounts for like the majority of people in America are white.
Yeah.
And so it's a smaller percentage of the white population. I guess if you want to say like there's more black people per the black population, the percentage is higher. I understand that, but I mean, like, it's nuances of information.
But I feel like that in and of itself says that there's a marginalized system.
I mean, it's...
If there are more black people in jail than there are white people in jail, like, according to the percentage of population...
No. Like I don't know if you understood. Yeah, I don't know if you understood. So I'm saying, like, say they're out of the total population.
I understand what you're saying. You're saying there are more white people in jail than there are black people. But according to the percentage, say there's 40% of white people, which is an outrageous claim, are in jail. But 60% of black people are in jail.
Yeah.
But there's less black people. That still points to that there is the reality is that there are more... the prejudice against black people and once again, I think that this all stems from
yeah.
slavery, Jim Crow laws, and people feeling marginalized and put to the back of society that has unfortunately, like, if there is more black crime, quote unquote, I don't know why I'm quote unquote, if there's more black crime than there is white crime in certain neighborhoods, I believe it's because of the way in which black people have been treated over the last 100 years. It's not because they are an inferior race to us and therefore are obviously going to do those things. It is because they have been pushed to the margins of society and have not been given the same privileges and rights as everyone else.
But then that doesn't like really... I mean, I understand what you're saying. From a concept, it sounds okay, but then... Like you're like then it discredits like if that were true across the board, then there wouldn't be successful black people or marginalized people. There wouldn't be successful like you it would be a discredit and a disservice to everybody who has succeeded and fought for what to make it and to you know and succeed in America.
Yeah.
By saying that. Because you're blaming a marginalized people, or you're blaming an ethnicity, or you're blaming like a group of people as a totality. But see, the way that I'm looking at it as is, I'm looking at it as individual actions, individual choices. That like, what's the difference between one person who was you know born and raised in, let's say, Long Beach or in Queens, or you know, New York, whatever, in the you know, what's it called, like a majority black area, right? What's the difference between one person who ends up being a career criminal and you know, spending their life in jail, and the person who was right next door that ends up becoming a congressman or the president of the United States? Who knows? Right? There's two people. Like, what's the difference? And my personal opinion is it would be all about choices. Now, you have the choice to, you know, look at where you're at. And I mean, I'll pull the gloves off and say that I want to say that a lot of people who throw out the whole race thing, I mean, I want to say are playing the whole victim card. And the people who are being successful are not looking at themselves as a victim of their circumstances, that they're looking at themselves as a choice of opportunity, that they, this is the land of the free. This is like the American dream is that I'm not saying it's all 100% great and gravy, but I'm saying that you can make something out of yourself out of nothing, right? Like, that's why people literally like makeshift a freaking flotation device and try to float here from like Cuba or other places and try to get here illegally, because like we are the land of the free, that you can actually make something out of nothing.
Yeah.
Other places you can't do that.
But I also think that per what you just said, people who try to come here legally because it's so hard for them to come legally are prejudiced against.
Let me ask you a question, because I mean I am white, but I'm in an interracial marriage.
Yeah.
My wife came here illegally. She probably won't even ever listen to this, but she came here illegally. Her mom brought her here when she was young. But I want to say, like, if she took that for granted, or you know, said, you know what, screw this, I'm not going to go by the laws of the land or whatever, I came here illegally, I'm just going to do whatever, I'll be a victim of my circumstances, she would have gone a totally different direction. But she didn't do that. What she did was, like, she was going to make the best of her situation, learn English. I was going to say learn American, but she learned English. She went and got the, you know, went through the whole citizenship process. She became a citizen before I met her. Now, I know a lot of people who don't do that, mm-hmm. but I'm saying, like, you're saying that she was marginalized but still succeeded under that. What's the difference between her and somebody else who chose not to? I boil it all back down to choices. I think that racism is a choice. It's a choice of somebody prejudging somebody on the color of their skin or how they look, I think that, you know, thinking that the system is rigged against you is another choice. I think that people who succeed because they make different choices. I think that it boils down to like sin.
I think that there's a reality, though, and I know there's more questions that you have. I think there is a reality, unfortunately, that you are handed a different deck of cards depending on your background.
How is that? I want to say that. I literally want to say that. Because, like, I grew up in Long Beach. And I was handed the same deck of cards as somebody else.
Once again, you and I are both white males.
Right.
And so I don't think you and I have a pretext on knowing what it's like. All I know is that after the George Floyd stuff happened, rather than posting on Instagram, that I asked my black friends, how are you doing? And when I asked that question, I had a bunch of, I would say, honestly, every one of my black friends at that point said, I have been pulled over by the police by doing something, by them claiming that I did something that I didn't do, or me doing something that is not a big deal, but I had to get out of my car and I had to get frisked because of it. And so, all that to say, I don't understand what it's like to be a black man or a marginalized or a minority in America. But a lot of the minorities that I know in America have felt that they are prejudiced against because of their skin. And so I know I said a lot there, but I want to let you unpack that.
I don't want to seem like really insensitive. Like, I'll go back to the George Floyd. Like, I think that it was horrible that was murder, that was, it was not right, no matter what was in his system, no matter how he was, that he as a human being was treated horribly. I'll put that out there. I'm not agreeing with any of that. What I will, like, kind of look at, though, is how the response to that, I think, was even worse than that action. The way that the people of colored community kind of like rioted and stuff, I wasn't like I'm like, to me that baffled me. It's like I didn't agree. Like, I don't understand, like, why would you destroy your own community? Why would you kill your own people because this man that you never knew got injured or harmed, or, you know, it pretty much died on, you know, live stream or whatever. Like, why would, but like, how could that justify, like, the action that came from it? And if, yeah, like, if I were to flip the script, like, because we've all heard, like, white supremacists, right? And, you know, the recent shooting that happened or whatever, he had, like, white supremacists, like, whatever, right? But flip it, right? The whole Black Lives Matter, what it was, like, you know, think white supremacists, they, you know, rose one race above all other races, pretty much focused on that, mm-hmm, and then it fueled the hate towards others. I don't see any difference from the Black Lives Matter than the white supremacists. Like, Black Lives Matter was like, it was like elevating the people of color over all other races, no matter whether they're marginalized or not.
Yeah,
and honestly, like, to me, it left a bad taste in my mouth, because like it was like, duh, like, all lives matter to me. Of course, that's my choices. That's what
all lives,
that's
where I came. Black lives matter.
And to me, all lives matter.
Yeah.
So why are you elevating one life over another? If I did that, it would be called white supremacist, right? If I said all white lives matter, like, would it be right?
Agree that Black people historically have been treated unfairly?
No.
You don't agree with that?
No.
Not even in slavery?
I'm not. Okay, listen. Look, if you're talking general, no. How can you say that? And then the one of our last presidents that ran, who had two terms of presidencies, like, was a person of color. You cannot tell me that, like, that race but as a general.
Who were the 43 presidents before him?
Okay. What you're talking about is like, I think it's a difference. There's a huge difference. What we're talking about is progress. There was progress that led up to it. But if we're focusing like, hey, we were just as bad as we were back in the slavery times, like that is 100% false.
Yeah.
Like 100%. That, to me, like that kind of statement, like people wanting reparations, whatever you want to call it, like to me, like that is focusing on like us, America, at our worst, at our lowest point. When I'm like, we have gone so far from where that point was.
Yeah.
And our and if you from the beginning of how this country was originated, where it talked about how all men are created equal,
sure.
We yeah. have moved so far closer to what that really meant, to all men are created equal, to where we got the emancipation, right? We got like all men literally are created equal. Then we even added in the women too, because remember, I mean, if you're talking about marginalized, well, that was a whole entire freaking gender that was marginalized for the longest, all the way up until less than 100 years ago. So like, why aren't the women kind of complaining as far as like other marginalized groups? Anyhow, like I'm going off on a tangent.
I was gonna share with you, I think this sentiment of Black Lives Matter, I think is very, I identify with that, but I think the organization, I do not identify with. But I will say too, you know, the feminist movement that came out of, it's been from the 60s or 70s. I think the thing that has been harmful about the feminist movement that I think you'll agree with when it comes to even, as you just shared, white supremacy is the same thing as Black Lives Matter, which I disagree with. But I think that the extreme side of either side of them is that feminism, unfortunately, because I do believe that women should be paid as the same as men, that women are the same as men. I mean, there are differences, but at the same time, they should be held to the same, you know, they should be held to the same level of respect. I think that there has been a level in which feminism has made men smaller so that women can be made higher, and I don't think that is right. And so I understand what you're saying, where you're talking about the Black Lives Matter movement has made white people seem terrible to make black people feel elevated, but it should be an equal, like, hey, we are equal. And you know, even you and I as followers of Jesus, it's like, you know, we were created in the image of God, white, black, Asian, men, women, like we were all created in the image of God. And so I think you and I would agree with that sentiment. But at the same time, I think that there is a reality that men have been elevated above women. And I think that because of the Anglo-Saxon, you look at all of the things that attribute for colonialism or the slave trade, that white people have been in power for so long, and because of that, there are different things that have attributed to racism in America. I think that is just, once again, you're my best friend, and I don't want to make you feel like dumb, but I think that it would be stupid to ignore that because of our Anglo-Saxon upbringing and our Anglo-Saxon power that we've held for so long, that there wouldn't be some rooted racist tendencies that we would all have.
I think what you're talking about is like cultural nuances. And like, I understand, like me, I guess if you want to say my color of my skin is not white, I'm brown. I'm actually mixed, like I'm partially Mexican, but I guess if you looked at me and didn't know otherwise, I look white. I think that like looking at me and calling me white is pretty, I don't know, racist. Anyway, but I'm saying like for me, it's like flip the script, you know, and see how it looks. Like, you know, I understand what you're saying as far as, like, the marginalized, and the, as far as, like, you know, the white people, you know, we've ruled for so long or whatnot. But I'm also, like, I would also say, like, what you're doing is you're focusing on the minority of the white people, because you're ignoring, like, all of the poverty of white people. You're ignoring all of the everything in between in the middle of blue collar. Like, I'm not focusing on, like, a portion. Because there's a lot of people that I respect and that I've seen and that I've, I follow on social media and whatnot that are people of color that are successful, that, you know, kind of vote, you know, similar to me, right? I'll say. They don't see their color or their skin as a disadvantage because they're successful. What makes them different is that I think, in my opinion, and this, man, if I could be totally off and I could be totally wrong, but that they're not using that as like a victim card. They're not using that mm-hmm. as like the world owes me. Like they've worked and earned everything that they have, and they've been successful because we live in the land of success. You know, where we live in a land where you can make something out of nothing, and I to me it's just I feel like it's a little it's I don't know. What's ignorance. I think it's ignorant yeah. to like, you know, to blindside or to look at to you know, be blinded against like the people who are successful, to focus on people like, I don't know, the poverty or whatnot.
Once again, I think that there is a irony to the fact that you and I are both white.
Oh yeah, this is great because I wanted this to happen.
That, I think that there are hurdles that certain people who aren't like us have to jump through or jump over, I guess, because the hurdles work, you jump over them, not through, because that wouldn't work. There are certain hurdles that I don't think that you and I even understand exist.
I could be totally wrong. I could be totally wrong. But would you think that there's hurdles that we have that we wouldn't understand too? I mean, like, again, do you believe in white privilege?
I believe in because I'm white. I don't think there's certain questions asked about me.
I haven't experienced that because I've lived maybe the other side of the law also. I don't know.
I think that there are two. I think one of the things that we're ignoring in this is there are certain areas of the country that are just so different. You've lived out west your whole life. If you go to Jackson, Mississippi, or you go to South Carolina, or you go to Tennessee, and you have a conversation
let me ask you a with question.
Someone else, it's just a different culture, man.
Well, do you believe that affirmative action is good?
Describe what you mean by affirmative action.
So, like, let's say college applications... Colleges have to induct a certain amount of people of color just to meet a quota based on just their ethnicity, not taking into effect their qualifications.
I think that an equal representation of the population of your state should be represented.
Whether they deserve it or not. Right, I mean, I'm just saying. Well, let's say Harvard, right?
What is the question?
Let's say Harvard, right? Harvard, if you tried to make it in to Harvard, you'd have to have like the highest GPA or whatever. Do you think that it's fair that people can make it in on less because they're a different color?
I think that in Harvard, there should be an equal representation of the people in that attend your university.
So people who don't necessarily deserve to be there. What about the white people? I'm being devil's advocate, all right?
I understand.
What about the white people who had like a 4.1 GPA, right? And because like everybody had a 4.1 GPA, color of white or whatever, they missed out. But because somebody was their skin color was different, they had a 3.5 and got in because it was they had to fill those slots. Do you think that, that's fair that that person who had a 4.1 GPA got passed by somebody who had a 3.5 GPA just based on the color of their skin?
I don't think that that's fair.
I feel like that would be racist against the white people.
Or racist
against that person. Against
that person.
That person.
Because it's like, well, you're not good enough to get a 4 point whatever, so we're going to...
What do you mean they're not good enough to be a...
Exactly. I think that that is an issue that I think I agree with. That I do think that just because you are a certain color of skin or an ethnicity, that you are just as smart and just as able as a person of, you know, the majority. But I do think that there is a reality that there is not equal opportunity for someone who is a minority.
Explain to me that. Give me an example. Because
you and I are both Caucasian people, and I don't think that you and I have an understanding of what it's like to grow up as a minority. So you and I are trying to speak into something that you and I have both never experienced.
I feel like I have, like, I've experienced racism. I've experienced getting arrested by cops. I've experienced getting pulled over just because of how I looked. I don't know. I'm not saying that, okay, listen, like, there may be stuff that I don't understand. But I don't see how anybody else has different opportunities than I have or less opportunities than I have. And based off of the affirmative action where we're just talking about it, it's like, I think that everybody has like there should be a level playing field. And I think that things like affirmative action, Black Lives Matter or whatever is elevating one that you can say marginalized group over the, I guess you want to say the majority of whatever American white people population.
And I think I think that I agree with you in the sense that I think that you're sharing that it should be equal.
I'm not even saying that.
I'm sharing that I don't think it is equal. And I think
No. Let me clarify, because I'm not trying to say like equal, blah, 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 blah. I'm just looking at how we as a society, when we you know, thought about affirmative action, I think that we like erred on the wrong side of the road to where we're like, okay, let's not just not make it fair, but let's like overcompensate. I think we overcompensated. I don't know. Even now there's in this, the 2000s, we're talking about reparations, right? There was like some talks, you know, oh, we should be paying reparations to the people who've been enslaved. I'm thinking to myself, like, how long ago was slavery ended? And to me, I'm like, nobody alive, right? Am I wrong? No, is that fair question? Like, nobody alive today was literally enslaved, correct? Like, I'm pretty sure of that.
I mean, legally, yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, even slavery in itself, in the Bible, there's different, like, terms of slavery. There's bond servants. There's, you know, there's actual people who owed a debt. There's people who... So I'm just saying, like, there's nuances. But yeah, I understand. But to say
that people don't feel the effect of that, I don't think it's...
I think feelings, yeah, right. I think that that's the hugest problem, because I think that people are feeling victimized. Even like that's one of the biggest things I think we have with our generation today is that people use the victim card and they enter this world thinking that people owe them something. And I think that that is one of the biggest contributors to them not pursuing their dreams. I think that that's a problem. But again, what I would say is I feel like that goes down to personal choices, not a system that has, you know, built this, you know, ideology that's racist. No, I think it's people, individual people choose to whether to reflect that they're victims or not, or to reflect that they're going to, despite their circumstances and despite their ethnicity, despite their color, despite their geographic setting, that they're going to become successful and do everything that they can to make their dreams true. I see it in my own life. Because I mean, I didn't grow up in a great neighborhood. I didn't grow up in a great family. My parents were drug addicts, and I ended up being just like them. But because of choices, because of, you know, God intervened in my life, but mostly because I wanted something better for my life than what was the hand that was dealt to me. I fought, kicked, clawed, whatever, to have a better life, and I do. So, like, I get offended when people lump me into a white, 100% white family. My family wasn't 100% white. My mom was Mexican. So, like, I do get offended because I think that you and me, we have the same opportunities as everybody else around us in the same block. I mean, like, this is 2020. Literally, a person of color was president just a couple years ago. Like, I'm not saying, like, everybody will be president, but how many congressmen are congressmen of color? Well, the Supreme Court, you know, like, the last judge, person of color. Now, I mean, there's so much that people who, quote-unquote, are marginalized have the opportunities to be. So, I guess my question goes back to, like, the whole entire systematic, like, I don't think it's a system. That's just my opinion, though. I guess, like, my main focus is, like, everybody has their own choices. And even if it comes down to, like, sin, I think that there, you know, people have, you know, they choose it or not, you know?
And I guess I'm just arguing that I don't think that everyone's handed the same deck of cards.
No, I understand that. That's life, though. But I'm not saying, like, a person who...
But I think where you end up depends on the way in which our society has been built. And there are exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, I would almost disagree with that, but yeah, go ahead.
There are exceptions to the rule. But I do think that there, and I've said this like 15 times, if I've said it once, I've said it 100 times. I think that there are subconscious ideologies and ways of doing society that stem from the Emancipation Proclamation and the Jim Crow laws that I don't think that we even understand.
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely...
What I know, and this is... I feel like I just have friends who I know who are great men, who are, you know, are married, who have families, who... All I know is that they're just phenomenal men, mm-hmm. who have been pulled over and have been frisked and have been have their cars checked, not because of anything wrong that they've done, but because of the color of their skin. And so I just have heard countless stories of, and that's never happened to me.
Right.
And I'm sure it's happened to you, but I also feel like that is a little bit of your before.
But also, like, I would almost say it's not because, like, the police officer's position instructs them to pull over people of color, that would be
an inbred thing because of what we've been taught for so long.
So, like, just, I know, and some of my family are police officers, and I know a lot of people in law enforcement, and... I'm just saying I don't think it's true. I think that there's, like, they deal with everybody on the their worst day, and so for them to give a certain amount of people, like, the benefit of a doubt is not a luxury that they have. That every single person that they pull over, in my opinion, and from my experience and from what I've heard, every single person they're on high guard and high alert on. Mm-hmm. And now people of color can focus on that, but I'm just saying, like, it's not just, I don't believe that it's just people of color who are getting those effects.
Yeah.
Have you been pulled over before ever?
I've been pulled over one time that wasn't something where I was like, oh, I did something wrong.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying, I don't believe that it's a standard and it's an end all, you know, thing that's across the board. I just think it's individual choices. And so that's where I know that we'll, I mean, I'm glad that I'm having this conversation with you, my white friend, to prelude, because I plan on having this conversation with many people of different color. And so it's definitely something that, again, you know, my mind might change throughout my conversations, but yeah. I'm glad to be able to, you know, have friends that I can actually sit down and have this conversation too. And so based on that, I want to move along into our, I mean, we're really good friends. We need to find something, a couple things that we agree on, because, you know, that may be a topic that we don't necessarily agree or meet eye to eye on. Mm-hmm. But I do want to kind of focus on things that we do agree on, because it's more than things we disagree on. You know, you're made up of more than your ideas on systemic racism, and same thing with me. And so that's one of the things I want to prove, that not just having these conversations, but that we're more than just our opinions. Mm-hmm. So, based on that, are you Star Wars or Star Trek?
I mean, definitely not Star Trek. Okay. Star Wars.
Star Wars, yeah. So yeah. I'm definitely Star Wars too.
I would say that I'm a nerdy person, but I'm not that kind of nerdy.
Okay, person. So well, when they say that, what is it, Obi-Wan Kenobi miniseries is coming out, mm-hmm. I mean, are you excited for that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Ewan McGregor is actually my favorite actor.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's in a lot of great movies.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So that's good. That's one. All right. Sour candy or chocolate candy?
Sour candy.
Sour candy? Okay. I like both, but sour candy is probably my favorite. I would pick sour candy over chocolate, but I do have some favorite chocolates. Anyway.
Okay. Well, what are your favorite sours?
So I like Sour Skittles. I like Sour Patch watermelon stuff.
Yeah. Come on.
Right?
Yep.
Right? Yeah. I like the sour straws. You know, the sour...
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. What else? I mean, there's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Well, yeah, chocolate to me is just... Everything tastes the same.
So to me, I like chocolate and caramel. Or caramel. Whatever you want. However you pronounce it. But my favorite chocolate candy is Caramello.
Hmm.
It's made by Cadbury, which is like the same people that do the Easter eggs, right? Yep. But imagine that chocolate with just caramel. Oh, and it's delicious. It's divine. Oh, my goodness. Mm. Mm. Yeah. Okay. Now, favorite holiday. Ooh, favorite holiday. 1, 2, 3.
Thanksgiving.
Christmas. Dang it. Okay. Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
The food.
It's the food and the friends. Oh. I think Christmas, unfortunately, becomes so much about...
Hmm.
I mean, obviously, as followers of Jesus, yeah. You know, Jesus coming to earth, and I 100% celebrate that. But I think Thanksgiving, is all about family. It's all about Thanksgiving. It's all about being grateful, and then it's really good food. So, I mean, you went to my house last year for Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good turkey.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I do like the food around Thanksgiving. The whole entire holidays, yeah, okay, it's great. Anyway, okay, skateboarding or rollerblading? For me, it's skateboarding.
I think it's skateboarding for me, yeah. Too. Only because I love longboarding. I don't do much, tricks. I don't know that you were pretty stinking good.
Yeah, I was kind of good. Yeah.
But
I actually have a skateboard that I just bought that I'm going to put together. I'm gonna bring it. I'll bring it to camp.
Let's go.
Yes.
Cool.
We'll skate. Good.
Yeah. What kind of skateboard is it?
It's just it's either black, not black label. It's oh my gosh, chocolate. I'm sorry. Whew, man, it's a chocolate deck, and then anyway, yeah. I got it in California for a smoking deal. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. I guess. Last question. You pick the question.
You put me on the spot.
Yeah.
Would you say that you are more of a college football or an NFL guy?
Well, I guess if you put that, I have my best friends into college football, so I'd rather do college football. I don't really know any did you say NFL? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just say college, because that's
college,
what mine is.
College football.
College. Yeah. Yep. Me too.
I watch more college football than... No, they're equal. I mean, I don't watch sports that much anyway.
You're like, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Okay. Oh, wings. When you go to like Buffalo Wild Wings or a Wingstop or wherever you get your wings from, is it traditional or is it boneless?
I think that's a good question. If I go to B-Dubs, I'm getting boneless.
Boneless.
But if I go to anywhere else, I'm getting wings.
Wings. And if you get wings... You have to get them well done, because they fall off the bone.
Mm.
If you, yeah.
What's your go-to sauce?
I mean, I like a regular buffalo, but medium. But I at Buffalo Wild Wings, I do get like a honey barbecue.
That's what I always get.
Oh, what?
I love honey barbecue.
Hey,
I get honey barbecue at B-Dubs, but I'll get other stuff at other places.
Yeah, too. I get like a medium buffalo sauce. Yeah.
You like
yeah.
spicy stuff, don't you?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
I like spicy to where I sweat. And I don't know if anybody else gets this, but I like spicy stuff to where my ears start itching. Have you ever had that?
Oh.
I think maybe.
Real talk, though. This last week, I did a bracket challenge on our staff,
uh-huh.
and I lost. Well, I lost, and then I got second. And so me and the person who were in first and second were, Larissa May is her name. And I was like, hey, winner buys loser food. And she won, so I had to buy her lunch. We went to a Thai restaurant, and most of the time I get like a 8 or a 7
uh-huh.
at a Thai restaurant. And at this place, she told me like, hey, this is like real authentic Thai.
Yeah.
You should get a 6. And I got a 6 at this place, and I literally cried. I sweated, and I had to blow my nose 10 times. It was the spiciest. The spiciest food I've ever had.
So listen, I don't know if you know this. Maybe this could be wrong, but I was always told that if they ask you of what number spicy, it's generally a scale of 1 to 5.
Correct.
And so if you do a 6 or a 7, they're saying you want it spicier than the hottest that they usually do it. So.
I know it's usually a 1 to 10, but you have to go to the places and say like, hey, I don't just...
I think 1 to 10 is an American thing. And like, I think that authentic, I don't know, I could be wrong. Again, I'm probably wrong all the time. But I think authentic, it's 1 to 5. And so if you're saying a 6, they're like, oh, this guy wants it over the top.
All I know is that it was miserable.
I wish I was there. Anyway, Aaron, it was a pleasure just having this conversation with you. I'm glad we're still friends. I look forward to our next conversation. Is there anything else you want to say before we get done?
I just think, and I think that you agree with me, and I think that part of it is like who's available. But I think this conversation just matters with people who are... you know, not like us.
Yeah. And so, yeah. I mean, just in full transparency, I wanted to have this conversation as a prelude to, or as a diving board to jump off and jump deeper into these topics and conversations. And so that's why I'm calling this part 0, because I'm not even calling it part 1. It's part 0. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully this will be a prelude and you... listen to our next conversation. I plan to have these regularly, at least once a month. I'm done with my sabbatical, so I'm looking forward to our next conversation, and hopefully it's just tune in, because who knows what my next conversation will be. So, well, thank you for listening to Not Offended Podcast. You guys be blessed, and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.